Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Let me say this about the tears. I heard Preacher Billy Kelly say it this way. He said he was always tender-hearted and easy to cry. And he said somebody told him one time, said, "You're too big to cry." And he said, I looked at him and said, "I'm too big to care what you think about me crying." Amen. That was one of the things I told the Lord when he called me to preach. I said, "I can't preach. All I can do is cry." Every time the Holy Spirit ever touched me, from the time I got saved, it seems like that was the immediate result when the Spirit showed up, was tears. And, of course, with tears comes snot and all that other good stuff. And so that was the excuse I gave. Well, thank God he never took away my tears. Turn with us this morning. I want to share from the book of John this morning, chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And I want to preach to your heart today from what God shared with my heart, and pray the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I want to preach about Jesus again. I don't know of a better subject than that. The world needs Jesus today. So you help me as we pray that God's will be done. John chapter number 14, I want to begin at verse number 11. Philip saith unto the Lord, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, 'Show us the Father'? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Bow with us. Lord, thank you for your word. Speak it into our hearts as only you can. Give me the unction, liberty. But I trust most of all that you'll send it out, that into every heart it'll find its place. Thank you for who you are, and I trust God in who you are. We pray that that truth ever become more clear today. We believe it as we ask it, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ is the God-man. 100% God. But 100% man. Now the mathematicians of the world today would say that's an impossibility of a truth. You've said that that accurately. It is impossible for a man to be both God and man. Yet Jesus is, not was, is. There are people in this world that do not believe that Jesus is God. Now that's not a new position. The very thing that Jesus fought the most was the Pharisee who got the most upset when Jesus equated himself to God. When every time that Jesus spoke of himself and his relationship with the Father, they went berserk. The very reason they wanted to kill him is because he said he was the Son of God. Now, I've tried most of this week to think through the Old Testament scriptures and see if there was any indication that there was a Son of God. I've seen the Spirit plenty of times, Steve. He was there. People of God knew about the Spirit. They wrote about the Spirit. But the only references I find about the Son of God were some of those given concerning prophecy. They spoke about one that was coming, the Messiah, God with us. Emmanuel is what Isaiah said they would name him, God with us. And yet today, it still seems to be the problem of the human heart to believe that Jesus Christ is God. Now, I'll grant you this. The Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it's hard for the human mind to grasp that. It's hard for us to believe that three are one and one are three. But it's the truth. I'll share the scripture with you in a moment. But I just want to say up front that I understand, at least logically, rationally, what the human mind, the human heart struggles with. How in the world can you believe that three are one? It had a man explain it one time, said it's like a good cherry pie. It's got a crust on the top. You cut it in three different pieces, but underneath that crust, it's all just one. And yet God chose to reveal himself to us in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One no greater than the other, one no less than the other. Jesus Christ is the God-man. You say, why are you making such a bill? Listen, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you're going to miss the point. You got to bow to Christ to get to God. You can't get to God where you're at. There is one mediator between God and man. That is the God-man, Jesus Christ. The only way that you can get to God is through Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And the only way that you can be reconciled unto the Father, right, you may be here today and believe that, yes, there is a God, but let me be clear. That God cannot be your God. You cannot be reconciled to that God until you have come by the drawing of the Holy Spirit through the mediator which God sent, which was his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And these three are one. I want to share that just a thought or two this morning as God shared with me concerning the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We live in a time where people take great liberties with the Word of God. They translated multiple passages of the King James Scripture that referred to Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. And they changed it. Some say he's the unique one. Others say he's the only Son. And others simply translate it in a way that has nothing to do with it. But what your Bible says is that he is the only begotten Son of God. And as you think about that, if you take out the word begotten, what have you got? Well, you've got the only Son. And if you have the only Son, then what are we? When 1 John said that, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we have been called the sons of God. If you've been born again today, you have been grafted in, you have been adopted in to the family of God. And I am today a child of God. You're a child of God if you've been born again. But friend, you were adopted in, you weren't begotten in. God's only begotten Son is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. He's the God-man. 100% God and 100% man. As I think about what this means, friend, all of your trust has to go into Christ. Now, this was the plan of God from the very beginning, from the very foundation of the world. God recognized the way that he would present salvation to a sinner. He had to send his only begotten Son.
He had to send Jesus into the world. God had to become one of us in order for the supreme sacrifice to be given. Jesus had to take on flesh. Jesus had to become what only Mary could bear that day, a son that was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. Listen, the birth of Jesus Christ today is relevant. It matters that it was a virgin that conceived of the Holy Ghost. It matters that it wasn't just another man born into this world. No, it was the God-man that was born. It was Jesus Christ today. You say, preacher, why does it matter? Because apart from Christ, you can't be saved. You have to believe in Jesus today. You have to believe that he was virgin born. Anything other than that, and he couldn't have been God. It couldn't have been God's son. It couldn't have been the divine and supreme and ultimate spotless lamb that God would then put on a cross and to bear the sins of mankind and to suffer and die. Brother, it was God that sent his son, and his son became flesh, and he was God in the flesh, Jesus. We know by the works that he did, and Jesus made it clear in John 14. He said, you've... believe me, he said, for the very work's sake. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me give sight to the blind, to cause the deaf to speak and to hear. He said, you've seen the works, and that only God, the power of God, is able to do these works. Believe me, for the very work's sake. But his question to Philip is the question that I have to you today. How long are you going to stand on the outside of simply believing in Jesus Christ? You say, preacher, I do believe in Jesus Christ. Let me challenge that today. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, why don't you trust him? Why don't you serve him? Why don't you surrender to him and seek that salvation that he has brought to your soul today? The God-man. Jesus wasn't just a man. Many contend that, right? There's many religions actually that believe that Jesus was a good man. I'd say that he's not the good man, he's the God man. Amen. The Bible said, as far as man goes, there's none of them good. Jesus even said that about himself. He said, only God is good. But here's what we know, he wasn't just a good man, he was the God man. There's many that believe today that Jesus was a prophet. They acquiesce to the simple historicity of it all. They believe that Jesus existed. We have too much information about Jesus for him not to have existed. He was a good man. He was a prophet. But I contend today, he was more than a prophet. He was more than a good man. He was more than all of that. Listen, if Jesus is not the God-man to you, you're going to miss who he really was. He wasn't just a man. He was a God-man. Amen. He was the only begotten Son of God. Turn with us. I'd like for you to open your Bible into Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 23. It's been quoted to us by the children already this morning. So I'm simply following what they've already shared with us. But let me share it with you. Somebody needs to believe in Jesus today because of who he is. Yeah. That's right. He was not just a man. And I'll get to the relevance of that in a moment. But hear my heart today. I believe God's trying to speak to somebody's mind this morning so that your heart will follow. Somebody had convinced themselves that Jesus was just a prophet. Jesus was just another Joe. Let me tell you something. If he had been like you or he had been like me, he would not have been spotless. He would not have been perfect. And he would not have been acceptable unto God the Father. But Jesus Christ was perfect as a sacrifice. The God-man. Matthew 1, verse number 23. Matthew simply quoting what we find in Isaiah 7:14. He said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus was God with us. You say, is that important? Listen, there had to be a body. In order for there to be a sacrifice, there had to be a body. And the scripture says, conclusively that God searched the heaven, he searched the earth, and he searched under the earth, Dustin, and there was none worthy that could go. Everything was considered. And brother, even as Jesus prayed in the garden and he sought the Father most earnestly in agony that day, and he prayed, Father, if it be any other way than this one, let it pass from me. Let this cup pass, and nevertheless thy will be done. Brother, there wasn't no other way. The only way to save you, the only way to save me, was to send his own son to be the sacrifice. But in order to be a sacrifice, there had to be a body. He had to be born of man. And the only way that God could do that was for a virgin to bear his son. Now, Jesus has always existed. There wasn't a beginning of Jesus. Amen. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem that day when the angels heralded his birth. That was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. No, that was the beginning of the God-man. Amen. Jesus was in the beginning. I'll get there in a minute. But God had to make a way for his son to become flesh in order for him to become a sacrifice that he could suffer in your place, die in your place, and then offer up his blood unto God as the eternal atonement and sacrifice for sin. You say, preacher, it doesn't matter. It absolutely matters. Amen. Either God sent his son to die for you, or Jesus was a fake. Either Jesus was a liar or he is the Lord. He's not somewhere in between. Either he was a lunatic, a madman that made all kind of notions and suppositions about his own cat. Brother, Jesus was either a liar or he is the King of glory today.
Amen.
And you need him. He's going to speak to you one day. The Holy Ghost is going to speak to you. And Jesus is going to reveal to you that you need him. I'm just trying to help you this morning through the Holy Spirit's help, that you'll trust in the Word of God and in what he said. Listen, God's plan from the beginning was to make his son one of us, except without sin. Matthew 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. When Jesus Christ was born, well, it ain't no wonder that there were wise men coming from afar. Amen. They traveled all of that distance, showing up at the house where the young child was and bowing. These kings from the Orient bowed before him and presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Why? Because what they saw in the sky concluded for them that a king had been born. Amen. Not just another man. They wasn't coming to find an earthly king. Though they went to Herod and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And when Herod inquired of them, they began to tell him that a star had appeared. Brother, may I say to you today that God, through the orchestration of his divine will, made a way for mankind to be saved. But he did it through Jesus Christ.
Yep.
The only means of salvation still is Jesus Christ. John chapter number 1. Turn with us. John chapter number 1, verse number 14. Here's what John said. Matthew begins with the genealogy and the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke tells us much about the birth of Jesus Christ. But the way John introduces him is this way. John chapter 1, verse number 14. I want to skip to verse number 14. And it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God, help us with this one. Amen. He said, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What's he saying? He's referring as the Word to Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the sustenance. Jesus is the very one that kept the children of Israel alive. Jesus was the manna that was given. Jesus was the water that was kept them going. Brother, Jesus has been everywhere all the time for everyone. But God, through his infinite sovereign plan, recognized that Jesus had to be born. And so what John concluded was is that the Word was made flesh. I want to just be careful to share with you today that there wasn't a man involved in the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary made it clear to the Holy Spirit, to the angel Gabriel that day when he spoke to Mary. And he said, you're going to bear a son and you're going to call his name Jesus. And she said, how can this be? She said, I know not a man. And he quickly explained to her, you're not going to need to know a man. He said, for the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and you're going to conceive in your womb of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God there was a son given that day that would become the sacrifice for my soul. Thank God for the precious lamb that was born that day in Bethlehem's stable. The God-man, born in the lowliest of conditions. The God-man, all John knew to say was, and the Word was made flesh. Oh, I can hear his heart at least as he tried to pen these words, as he tried to comprehend what had happened the last several years as he walked with him, Craig, and as he heard him speak, and as he watched him do the miracles, and he seen him on the cross as he stood there holding the mother of Jesus that day, and they looked and watched the Lamb of God be slain on a cross. I can imagine what John was thinking when he picked up the pen under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and all he knew to say was, the Word was made flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
It was important that John, he penned for us the relevancy of who Jesus really is. You're not just believing in a man. No, no, no. Much more than a man. He's the God-man. John said the Word. He said it was made flesh. He said, and he dwelt among us. He was trying to put this down, Greg, and he said, and we beheld his glory. Beheld his glory? He said, yes. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. He said, don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? We had the Son of God. God was with us.
Amen.
And he's still here. But your salvation today is 100% dependent upon his Son. God made no other way of salvation but through his Son. Everything that we have concerning Jesus is of necessity. Look with us. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter number 10, verse number 28. Look at what Jesus said. John 10, verse 28. Jesus said these words. They're read in my Bible. I hope they are in yours. And it says, and I give unto them eternal life. Let me tell you something. They ain't no man. Hear me now. They ain't no man. They ain't no priest. I don't care who it is. They cannot give you eternal life. I can preach to you till I fall over. You'll never be born again. The only way you're going to get saved is through him, through him, through him. You have to understand today that Jesus Christ is the giver of life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brother, he is not just a man. He is the God-man. He is the King of glory, incarnate, dwelling among men, and now among God. with God, by God. Look at what he said. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Again, Jesus is assuming the same position as his Father. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he said, no man's able to pluck them out of my hands. But look at verse number 29. Look at verse number 29. And he said, my Father, listen, this is why it's important. Look at your Bible. He said, my Father, which is greater than I, Jesus will always put God at the top. Amen. He said, my Father, which is greater than I, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. But look what he said in the next verse. He said, I and my Father are one. We're the same. The eternal life that I give unto those that believe in me today, he said, is able to keep you unto everlasting. You shall never perish. No man's able to pluck you out of my hand. But he said, by the way, my Father, which is greater than all, my Father, which gave you to me, he said, my Father, which is greater than all, he said, no man is able to pluck you out of his hand for sure. For he said, I and my Father are one. Look at verse number 30. Jesus made the clear statement concerning his position in God. He said, I and the Father are one. Is there any doubt about who Jesus Christ is? He was not a man. You can't say that Christ was just a man. No, he's far more than just a man. This is the kind of declaration that fired up those Pharisees to the point they wanted to stone him, to kill him. And ultimately, they would take him to the cross and murder him there in their anger and their vile, malicious hatred of him because he equated himself as God. Let me go on record, and I hope you're with me. Jesus is God today. Yep. He said, I and the Father are one. He's the God-man. God sent him to become our sacrifice. Turn with us to 1 John chapter 5. It's the last place I'll have you follow me. But if you'll go to 1 John, again, I believe the Holy Ghost moving through the Apostle John to clarify for us the position of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. And he said, for there are three that bear record in heaven. You say, why did he say in heaven? I'll tell you right now, that's where the record needs to make the difference for you.
Right. Yep. Amen.
There are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that tell the truth in heaven. There are three that are forevermore the truth in heaven. And that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost and these three are one. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. John concludes that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. So why is it important? If it was just a man, if Jesus was just a man, he couldn't save you. A man couldn't save you. I guarantee you this, if a man could save you, Jesus would not have had to come. He wouldn't have spent that price if there was another way for you to be saved. But there wasn't any other way for you to be saved. God had to send his Son. You say, why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, there's many reasons, but the greatest is that God sent his Son. This is how he begot him. He was born of the Virgin, having conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And what was born that day was God in the flesh. The second part of the Godhead, the God-man. The God-man.
Well, let me close with this. You're not believing in another man. You're believing in God. And the only way for you to get reconciled with God is to believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. No other way. But let me help you with the thought today. As you commit your faith, your entire heart, to believe in the work of Jesus Christ, let me encourage you, you're putting your faith in God, because Christ is God. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. Well, how in the world do you distinguish between the two? Well, maybe a helpful thing. I jotted down some of these things, and I was reminded of it a few weeks ago as I heard a song. But here's a way to think about the distinctions in the God-man. As referring to Jesus Christ on his mother's side, he's the Son of Man. But on his father's side, he's the Son of God. On his mother's side, his name is Jesus. But on his father's side, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. On his mother's side, he was a carpenter. Learned after Joseph, his stepfather, the trade, no doubt. But on his father's side, he's the creator of all heaven and earth. He's as much God as he is man. On his mother's side, he was born in a manger. But on his father's side, he's sitting on a throne today. He's as much God as he was man. On his mother's side, he was visited by shepherds and worshipped by wise men. But on his father's side, he's worshipped by the entire host of heaven. On his mother's side, he had no place to lay his head. But on his father's side, he has a throne that's sitting beside the holy and sovereign Lord of all. He's God and he's man. On his mother's side, they pierced him in his side and they nailed him to his hands. And brother, he bled out and died for us. But on his father's side, brother, he lives forever. And today he still bears the scars of the man that hung there as the sacrifice for you and I. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. Amen. On his mother's side, he had no keys to anything of his own. Yet on his father's side, he has the keys of hell and death. This wasn't just a man. He's the God-man. On his mother's side, he had a birth date and a death date. But on his father's side, he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. Brother, he was man, but he is also God. I don't know how you distinguish it in your mind, but brother, we call him Jesus today, and he's the Savior of the world. He'll save you today. He's the God-man. On his mother's side, he was baptized of John in the waters of the Jordan River. But on his father's side, he baptizes all the believers with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. On his mother's side, he was the healer of men. On the father's side, he's the healer of her soul. On his mother's side, he calmed the raging sea. On his father's side, he created the sea itself. On his mother's side, he thirsted on the cross. While on his father's side, he's the fountain of living water for all that will believe. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. On his father's side, on his mother's side, he was falsely condemned by the high priest. But on his father's side, he sits as my high priest and ever makes intercession for me. Amen. I ain't believing just a man. No. No, there'll never be a God-man but Christ. One, and he is the only begotten Son of God. On his mother's side, he shed his own blood for our sins. But on his father's side, he took all that blood back and he carried it up unto the father and he presented it unto the father as the payment for my sin. That was God in the flesh. Don't you see what God had to do to save you? Jesus didn't have to leave heaven, but he did. Because God said the only way to save man is to pay for their sin. To pay what they can't pay for. So God had to send his son, the God-man. On his mother's side, he died on the cross that day. I've done mentioned it, but let me say again. On his mother's side, she was there. The one that gave birth to him that day, that had conceived of the Holy Ghost, knew not a man till after Jesus was born. She gave birth that day to the God-man, the Son of God. And that day she looked on that cross and saw his bruised and beaten and broken and bleeding body. She looked upon the cross that day and saw him die. But that was on his mother's side. See, he had to be man or he couldn't do that. He had to be a man. But he was more than just a man. Because when they took his body from that cross, the traits that he took on from his mother's side ceased, at least in this part. He said, I am life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to... Only God has power to take it up again. Jesus died on the cross because he was man, and he gave himself for us. But brother, that same day, he went into the heart of the earth, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead.
Amen.
On his father's side, he had power to raise from the dead. On his mother's side, he was judged and condemned by sinful men. Come get a song, if you would. Sinful men condemned him, judged him, and sentenced him to death on a cross. Let me be clear, he wasn't just a man. He was the God-man. Because today, he sits at the right hand of the Father. Brother Greg, he's going to judge all sinful men. He's going to judge. He was judged and sentenced to die one day on his mother's side. But brother, on the Father's side, he is a judge. And he'll judge rightly in that day. You can be certain of this. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. You say, preacher, I don't have the Holy Spirit in me. Then you don't have the Father, nor do you have the Son. Jesus said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You cannot claim to be going to heaven today unless you have the Holy Spirit living in you, that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you have made him your Savior. You've received Christ as your own. And you know that God is your Father today. These three are one. You cannot separate them, but to distinguish the power of their work in all of our lives. Would you stand with us today? I want to give you an invitation. I want to give you an invitation. And here it is. Jesus said it, and I've already quoted it. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. And that was the Father's plan. And God ain't changed his mind about what Jesus had to do, did, and will ever do for you. He made a way for you to be saved. And all he's asking you today is to come, to trust him, to believe him yourself. Confess your sin and call upon the one that can forgive you of it. And brother, Jesus Christ will do the very thing that he died to do for you today. We can make this your birthday spiritually if you'll trust Christ, if you'll believe him. But it's only through him. It's only through Christ. Consider in your heart today where you're going to spend eternity. If you're not ready, if you're not ready right now, ready, and the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, and you know right now that Jesus is not your Savior, you have never bowed to Christ, then you need to come. You need to obey God and come and believe him, trust him, call upon him. He'll save you today. As we sing, would you come? I invite you to come.